It's the Story Stupid. Hello, and welcome to It's the Story Stupid, the 13th episode of the Word Trip Podcast. Thought I would cover writing books today, but not like I have in the past, and thinking of it as the writer's bookshelf, because I'm sitting in my office beside my bookshelf, and I have piles of writing books here, and while the utmost important bit of information you can get from any of the writing books is to stop reading so many dang writing books and do some writing yourself. But I thought I would cover some of the ones that I have here, some of the ones I liked here, of the ones that I have, and maybe you'll get some ideas for some books to read that will give you some inspiration, and I've picked out three non-writing books that I think writers should read. I'm going to start with some of my favorite books, which are Stephen King's On Writing and Anne Lamott's Bird by Bird. Both of them have, these are two incredibly different writers. I'm not sure you could get two writers that are much more different as far as the subject matter of what they're writing. But both of their books on writing are actually very interesting in that they are semi-autobiographical, so you get a feeling of how they progressed along their writing journey and became the writers that they are today. And also, they also have some good writing advice. Stephen King is kind of bare bones in his, you know, Strunk and White, Elements of Style kind of advice, and, you know, banish all adverbs, and one thing above all else is remember you're telling a story. Don't forget the story. And Lamott has some good little tidbits. The one that comes to mind from having read the book a couple times is the one-inch picture frames, where if you're stuck and you can't write anything else, look at your scene through a one-inch picture frame and describe what you see through that one square inch picture frame. And let's see, one of the other books is, of course, Strunk and White's Elements of Style, which has a small form factor, but lots of good, dense information in there on how to approach style and words that are often misused and grammatical things that should be taken into consideration when you're writing. Great book. Simple, quick, easy to read. A couple of my other favorites are Orson Scott Card's books on writing. I know those of you who know me know that Card is one of my favorite authors, and I enjoy greatly his book on characters and viewpoint and his book on writing science fiction and fantasy. And both of them have a lot of good information, and he does a good job with characters in his book, and so the advice that he has is quite useful. Some of the other books that I have recently picked up from the library, Robert's Rules of Writing, which I think has some, thus far, as far as I've gotten in it, which is not all that far. I've read, of the 101 Unconventional Rules, I've read the first 15 or so, but it's got some good advice. The last podcast discussed some of the things, his, you know, theory of burning your journal and getting a pen pal instead, and, you know, throwing out your thesaurus, and don't overinflate the balloon. Skip the Starbucks. Not that the coffee is what you should skip, but the concept of sitting and writing, going somewhere to write, to be seen writing versus actually doing the writing. I have Eat Shoots and Leaves by Len Truss, which is incredibly amusing and gives some advice on grammatical subjects. The No Experience Necessary Writer's Course by Scott Edelstein. I was kind of trepidatious about reading that one, but it was suggested by somebody on Word Trip. We did it for a book club discussion, and I loved it. It's got a good, no-nonsense approach to writing and has some good exercises to get those writing muscles loosened up and moving. He has a new thing, which I picked up recently, the Complete Writer's Kit, which is a little shticky in that you have one writing book, and then you have a little miniature writing book that you can carry with you that is, you know, get published in 6 months or less, 10 steps to make it happen. The bigger writing book is 30 steps to becoming a writer, but it has a good overall view of things. I haven't finished the whole book yet, but I've skimmed it. It has some good advice for the beginning writer and kind of stepping you through a lot of the basics that you'd need, and a lot of the other books we'll cover as well. But yeah, I'd say it probably would be a good writing kit for the beginning writer. The other thing it has is these little write it now cards with little inspirational thoughts on writing, you know, the kind of thing you can stick in your on top of your desk in a little business card holder and flip to a new one each day kind of thing. Some of the other books, let's see, No Plot, No Problem by Chris Beatty, the NaNoWriMo founder, had some really great advice for getting the words on the page. His focus is very obviously quantity over quality, but there is something to be said to getting the words on the page first, and then you edit. And we're going to take a little break, listen to a couple of promos for some other writing podcasts that I've started listening to, and then we'll come back and I'll discuss a few more books.
The following takes place between It Was a Dark and Stormy Night, and what would happen next, only time will tell. This is Bauer.
Jack, this is CTU. Where are you? We need you in the field.
I can't. I am in the middle of a severe plot twist.
Jack, what are you talking about?
What I am talking about is my daily word count, my goals in character development, and my possibilities in getting published.
Jack, your country needs you. You should be in the field.
No, I should be writing. Just like Myra Lafferty tells me on her podcast. She gives writing tips, personal anecdotes, and even features published authors in interviews. It's a totally Airwolf podcast.
Jack, you can't be...
Hold on. My position has been compromised. Repeat, my position has been compromised.
We'll send back...
No! Send me an editor!
Jack, you're pinned down. You should be returning fire.
No! I should be listening to Myra's podcast! I should be writing! Time is short. Subscribe to Myra Lafferty's I Should Be Writing at ishouldbewriting.com. Your life and the fate of the free world may depend on it. I'm science fiction fantasy author T. Morris, and this is the Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy. You'll hear how author Tony Ruggiero and I decide what con to visit.
No.
Oh, oh,
no,
yeah.
No.
Oh, oh,
no.
Yeah.
No.
I'll drive.
Okay.
You'll get ideas on the best way to handle fans.
You've never had anybody give you the Angelina treatment.
And on occasion, I'll feature an interview.
But everybody calls me Psycho. Any of you guys call me Francis, and I'll kill you.
Visit www.tmorris.com and enroll for the Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy.
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
Okay, we're back. Some of the books that I've picked up recently on writing, and have not read a lot of, are ones that take a different approach to things than the ones I have read. On kind of two opposite ends of the spectrum, I recently picked up First Draft in 30 days, actually it was a month or two ago, and I haven't finished reading it, but what I have read is very obvious that their first draft view is a detailed outline that's so good you can count it as a first draft. Which I found kind of obnoxious after having bought the book, because that really wasn't what I was looking for. I was looking for something a little more serious than Chris Beatty's No Plot, No Problem, because that's the same premise of writing your first draft in 30 days. But this one actually does have some great little worksheets on describing and developing your characters and scenes and keeping track of what you're writing and that sort of thing. And from the opposite end of the spectrum of the First Draft in 30 Days, which is by Karen Wisner, I have One Continuous Mistake, Four Noble Truths for Writers by Gail Scheer, which takes a very Zen Buddhist approach. The Four Noble Truths are writers write, writing is a process, you don't know what your writing will be until the end of the process. If writing is your practice, the only way to fail is not to write. And thus far what I read was actually pretty interesting. Like I said, it's almost a meditative view of writing, which probably couldn't hurt. The other one I picked up is The Artist Way, which I've heard Myra Lafferty mention a few times in her podcast, the I Should Be Writing podcast. And one of the things that she's mentioned almost every time she talks about this is her morning pages that she advocates taking, I don't remember how long it is, 20 minutes or 30 minutes of writing nonstop, 5 or 10 pages of longhand that you're not necessarily going to be using in your work, but is really just a way of loosening up that muscle in the morning, kind of a morning stretch thing. And in my opinion, I haven't read the book, the whole concept just seems like a crock, because if you have kids and a real life taking out the extra time to spew forth drivel that you're not going to use seems a little less than practical. But I think there's obviously going to be something that I can learn from this book, which is why I picked it up. I have a couple of books on writing for kids. I have a writer's companion that actually has just a plethora of facts and figures and stuff that I keep on my bookshelf. I have some little anecdotes for all occasions, things that are meant for speakers, but that, along with a big book of familiar quotations that aren't that familiar to me, are little bits of information to have on hand that I, you know, toss in the middle of a story somewhere, or use to kind of kick off a story. You know, of course, I have the obvious dictionary and that sort of thing. For Christmas, my good friend George, a.k.a. The Mudge, got me a New Yorker's collection of cartoons that all relate to writing. And good thing to kind of get you kicked off in the morning and make you feel good about writing, or at least get a chuckle. Ray Bradbury's Zen and the Art of Writing was also pretty good. He's even more dogmatic than Stephen King is on, you have to write, you have to write, you have to write every day. If you're not writing every day, you're not a real writer, which is a great perspective if you're able to make your living at it, but if you're not able to make your living at it just yet, maybe it's a little harsh. I have a book on turning life into fiction. I have Linda Formicelli, who's also a Word Trippers book, The Renegade Writer, which has good information for writing articles and breaking into that magazine market. I have a revising book that I haven't read yet. And then I'm going to cover my three books that I think that writers should read, even though they're not about writing. And of the three, I've only finished one of them, but I have been in the process for a while on the others. But I think they have a lot to say that are very interesting from a writer's viewpoint. The one I have finished is The Little Guide to Your Well-Read Life by Steve Levine, the founder of Levenger, which has some of the really cool pens and writing and reading gadgets that I love and lust after, but I can't afford. And it is just that. It's a little guide to getting more books in your life and more out of the books that you already have in your life. And some of the things he advocates are taking notes in your books. It's a really hard habit to break to not take a note in your book. But once you get past that fear of ruining the pristine page, there are so many things that you'll get more out of your books if you're making notes on the thoughts that you have as you read. And he also suggests picking up audiobooks for your commute time, because you add a lot of things to your year. You can get through an extra dozen or two books a year if you just add that to your schedule. And sharing your love of books with people. Lots of good information there for getting more books in your life. And if there's one thing that most of the professional writers will tell you, it is that not only does a writer write, but a writer reads. It helps you know your market, and it'll also help you develop your craft. And let's see, my other two, one of them is On Method Acting by Edward Dwight Eastey, which is a classic actor's guide to the Stanislavski technique as practiced at the Actor's Studio. And the reason I think this is a good book for writers is because as a writer, you have to get into your character's heads, and the method acting concept is really to become the character that you're portraying, and there's advice in here on being able to sense and feel what your character is feeling, and using your memories of sensations and emotions and things like that to portray those. And if you look at that advice and then apply it to your writing, you're going to have more vivid and realistic characters. And last book, as I've droned on now for 12, 13 minutes, and with the ad breaks in there, it's probably even more, is Guns, Germs, and Steel, The Fates of Human Societies by Jared Diamond. Now, he has another more recent book called Collapse on Collapse of Societies, and whether or not you believe in his viewpoint as far as the way things evolved in the world, his theories and his views and how certain societies were more important in the world, or became more dominant in the world at any rate, and how the skills were bred into and out of people throughout time over the last, couple thousand to 3,000 years, or 5 to 10,000 years, there's a lot of interesting things that if you're writing books of a larger scope than just one man, one day kind of thing, there's bits of information that you'll pull into it
and you'll learn more about societies and the way people interact with each other and their natures. And I think that it's a very interesting book, and it's a bestseller, and a lot of you have probably already read it, but I think that there's a lot of good information here that, as a writer, especially if you're writing science fiction or fantasy with an alternate history and alternate worlds, you're going to have a better viewpoint on how societies develop and how people work. And I think that's it, because I have rambled on and on. I want to remind you of the current Word Trip contest, which is a poetry contest. If you go to wordtrip.com, look in the announcements or the contests area. Across the top, there's a list of links you can click. One says announcements, one says contest. There's ones for all of our various sections. And if you select those, you'll see our latest contest is for poetry. We just finished up the short story contest. We're doing the judging now. We would love to get your entry. It's a $5 entry fee and helps us keep Word Trip and the Word Trip podcast and all those sort of things running. And maybe once in a while we'd buy some coffee if we ever got back into the black. You may notice that our theme music is different than it has been for the last few podcasts, and that's because I got iLife 6 and the new version of GarageBand, and I've been playing with some of the sound effects and such. And I hope that after you take the time to email us or listen to us a voicemail, email us at wordtrip@gmail.com, or you can go to wordtrip.com and post something in the message forums, or you can call and leave us a voicemail. Check the show notes for the number. And after all of that, after you leave us comments and some feedback, tell a friend about the Word Trip podcast, and do some writing, because it's the story, stupid.